Hallelujah. It's because he calls us friend, amen, that we can come boldly to a throne of grace. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Chris and Sister Jessica are out of town. They will be probably in our second service. They had a wedding in Michigan, so let's pray for their safe travel. Amen. But we are in our third week on the topic of the Father's will. Amen. And it's such an important topic. Yesterday I was teaching at PI, and their topic is holiness. But it was such an important topic that some of the things that I taught last week about how we get our circumstances changed sometimes before our heart will change, it just came up, because without acknowledging the Father's will, without being ready to accept, then we will be lost. Amen. Well, the first week we talked about who is in control, and we talked about our emotions and how God can use that to put us in a bad place sometimes. And last week we talked about how we can get transformed, a transformed mind. But this week we want to talk about love. Amen. Because that's the easiest way to serve God, is through love. You know, if you love something, it's not even work. Did you know that? When you love something, you can spend hours and hours involved in that thing, and it's not even work. But if you don't love it, it can become a burden. So the easiest way to submit to God is to develop a deep and genuine love. Amen. When you want to please someone, you'll do anything. Amen. You'll do anything. Things you don't think you would do. He's not here, so I can talk about Chris. But there's certain foods he wouldn't eat. But when he was in love, his wife made it, got him this food, and he was eating it. Like, you know, what's wrong with that? Amen. What's wrong with that? Love will make things that look like a burden easy. And so the key to serving God is being in love with him. Is being in love with him. So we're going to look at that. And then next week, we're going to look at God's perfect will. And then finally, because this month has five Sundays, the blessing of the Father. And just to as review, can anyone name some of the things that we lost when we lost dominion? I had three things down. Amen. We lost dominion of the flesh. What else? What was the other thing I said we lost dominion of? The earth. All right. Yes, nature. So we lost dominion of the earth. We also lost dominion of one other thing that we lost dominion of. What did we lose dominion of? Nature. All right, let's look at those three things. We lost dominion over the animals, and we lost dominion over the flesh. Those are the three major things that we lost dominion of. And I spoke about the three wills, that there are three wills involved in nearly every decision we make. It's what God wants, what Satan wants, and what we want. And whenever our will lines up with God, that's when things go good. And when it doesn't, in the end, it doesn't work out. Amen. From past experience, I can tell you that. And then we looked over how Satan can manipulate us through our emotions. Fear, anger, lust, anxiety, just worry. Sometimes, you know, you look at and you're paralyzed by not knowing what to do. Anyone ever been there? Amen, I've been there. And envy. So those are just some of the emotions. I said I listed about 27 of them that scientists had come up with. You notice the one that's not there that we always think is an emotion? Love. And actually they say that's not an emotion. But it's more of a drive, like hunger is a drive. Amen. So we're going to continue from that. We discussed fear, we discussed anger, and we discussed lust. And so now this week, we want to do the easy way, through love. You know, you can serve God out of fear, but that's not a positive emotion. We want to serve God the easy way, and that is out of love. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I tell you what, when you're in love, you want to please the other person. As I said, I was teaching the class yesterday, and I talked about, you know, Tupperware parties. You know, thanks be to God, my wife has never had a Tupperware party. So I've never, not that I remember, anyway. Now, she has had Mary Kay, and I have sat there and been trying on some of the stuff. I have been a little bit of a guinea pig. Try some of this, you know. But when you're in love, it's not hard to please the other person. If you're not in love, it's very hard. So we want to discuss, how do we fall in love with God? If you're not in love with God, how do we get to the place where we're truly in love? Because then it becomes easy. Amen. Then it becomes easy. Hallelujah. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how do we learn to love? How do we learn to love? How do we fall in love? Anyone been in love? What was the first step in falling in love? I hear some good things. I hear friendship, got to know the person. Come on now, give me some, Sister Brownie, you were going to say something. Okay, all right, you got to know that person. What we have to do, if you're not in love with God, you have to fall in love with him. In Revelation, it said, I have somewhat against you, the church of Ephesus, because you have what? Yes. Isn't that a terrible thing? He says, I have somewhat against you. Please go back and redo thy first works. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So today I want to talk about, how do we learn to love? How do we fall back in love with God? 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, which is the 16th century word for that kind of love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. How do we fall in love? Well, I can only talk for myself, so I'll. The first time I saw my wife, she was in a church, and she was coming down the aisle. I was at the back door, and she had a guitar, and she was bringing the guitar to me to tune. When I first saw her, I thought, you know, she just, when you're 18 or 19, any woman who looks like they're about 30, you know, she looked much more sophisticated than me. And so I really didn't really look at her, you know, to look at her. So, but it was a little bit later on when I heard her sing that something, I want to get to know that young lady. So there's got to be something that triggers your interest. And we're going to look at that. How can we learn to love God? If you've lost your love for God, today I want you to learn to renew it. Because otherwise, serving God out of fear is not the best way. You know, the Bible does speak about some being saved through fear. But that's the hard way. If we can learn to love God, it will become effortless. We'll be like David. I think David, for most of his life, was in love with God. You can just see it in his psalms and in his writings, right? He had a joy about worship. When the ark was coming back, David didn't care about what other people thought. He just started to worship. He was the king, but he started to get down and worship. He didn't care because he was in love with his creator. There was something about the relationship that David had with God that can teach us something. Amen. So let's look at this. How do we learn to love? And I want to give one biblical example. And it's found in the book of Luke, and it's the story, and I'll just read it. There was a Pharisee whose name was Simeon, who invited Jesus to his house to a dinner. Now, in those days, they allowed outsiders to come. It wasn't like, you know, there were people who were going to be the guests, but other people could come on the outside of the courtyard, so to speak. And in Luke 7:36, we said, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. You know, this story is so, to me, powerful. Because it starts off, we don't really know who she is, except I think there's a backstory to this. And stood at his feet. She stood behind him. She didn't come in front of him. I want you to picture this. Stood at his feet behind him weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head. What a picture of abject humility. And realizing who she was. She knew what everybody thought about her. But there was something that was driving her to come to Jesus and to show him her love. And began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And he turned to the woman and said, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them down with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And here I put in yellow a key about loving God. For she loved much. And then Jesus here starts to explain a little bit of the backstory with it, which we don't really know. It's not clear. You have to go to many scriptures to piece this story together. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. She didn't care how it looked. She didn't care what people thought. She wanted to express her love. Love is always expressed. It's not some true love is always expressed. This woman expressed her love by coming behind Jesus, kneeling at his feet, and starting to wash his feet with her tears. And Jesus acknowledges that her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But who to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So here is our first clue about loving God. It's realizing how much you have been forgiven. It's realizing how much you've been forgiven. If you don't realize what God has done for you, you're not going to love him much. This woman realized how much she had been forgiven. And that's why it wasn't that anyone else didn't also need forgiveness or had done just as much, but she realized it. And because of that, Jesus said she loved much. If you want to start to learn to love God, you need to start to examine your life, not someone else's life, your life, and realize how much you have been forgiven. If you truly start to look at all the things God has done for you, that's how love can be born. I term that learning to love. Her sins, which are many. We don't know in this little excerpt too much about her, but we're going to learn, are forgiven. What a great statement. Because of who was saying it. The King of Kings announced her sins were forgiven. God was looking at her different than the way everyone else was looking at her. Simon had said in his heart, if this man's a prophet, he wouldn't even let this woman come anywhere near him. But he didn't know that she had been forgiven. She loved much. You see, the start of learning to love God is to realize how much you've been forgiven. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And what it comes down to is a lot of people have not considered how much they have been forgiven. That's why they love little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. Now, who was this woman? Anyone remember? That's right. That's who she was. It doesn't tell us her name here. We don't know her name in this little part of it. But she becomes one of the key figures in Jesus' ministry from this point on. Always at his feet. You know why? Because she loved him. Not in a carnal love, she recognized who he was. Who he was. If you recognize who Jesus is and what he has done for you and that you have been forgiven, and if you have an open heart, you will start to love. In John 11:1, it's revealed who she was. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And the Bible here reveals to us that she was the woman, Mary Magdalene, who was the one who had come to Simeon's house, the Pharisee, with an alabaster jar. To show that she loved much, the Bible tells us that this thing was extremely expensive. It was worth half a year's salary. Think about that. Take your salary for the year, divide it in half, bring it to Jesus in an ointment and pour it over his head. You know what that tells me? She valued so much what he had done for her. It was a sacrifice, I'm sure. In fact, Judas says, started complaining and grumbling. That could have been sold for so much money and fed to the poor. But love wants to give. Love finds no problem giving. Hate wants to take. But love always wants to give. Love, no sacrifice is too much. I told you the story of Abby, you know, my little granddaughter. I was sitting there one Thursday night, and she came up to me, and she said, Grandpa, want a cuddle? Oh, my goodness, my heart just melted. You know, I was running. I just picked her up. You know, that's how we need to be to God. If we love God in that way where he is first in our life above all else, do you know that nothing will be withholden from us? God, it's the Father's good pleasure to give. But we don't give the one thing that we have been given that we can give, which is love. The whole purpose that we have choice is so that we can love. If God wanted robots, he would have made us that. The whole purpose for us having choice is so that we can love. But God understands that we're not just going to love. He had to make the first move, and we're going to look at that. So this woman was revealed to be Mary Magdalene. And it was obvious that her life before Jesus was terrible. Everybody in town knew who she was. Everybody in town looked down on her. She wasn't a secret, but something in her life must have happened to bring her into the orbit of Jesus. Because it's a strange story, and I'd like to say to you that this was not the first time she had met Jesus. That's what I'm going to say to you, that when Simeon's house, it was not the first time she had met Jesus. What she did was in response to something else. It was in response to something else. We see that she was given the honor of being the first person to see Jesus. Why? She loved him. She got there before his disciples. She got up before sunrise. She got there when it was dark. She ran there before Peter. Why? Because they were still in doubt. But love overcomes doubt. Love overcomes fear. That's how much she loved. So we see that all through Jesus' ministry from that point on, she was involved in his ministry. She was one of the women who supported his ministry. And so in Mark 16:9, even at the resurrection, because of love, she was there. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. You know, he had to ask Peter a few questions. Do you love me? How come you didn't get to the tomb first? How come you didn't get to the tomb first? Peter did come, but it was a little bit later, you know? But the first one there was this woman who nobody thought much of, had no good reputation, but she loved. And the reason the Bible tells she loved was because she had been forgiven. That's one of the first things. If you could understand how much you've been forgiven, we would at least be grateful. We would at least be thankful. We would at least worship. We just don't even appreciate what God has done for us. The Bible doesn't say explicitly what I'm about to say to you, but this is what I think who she was. I think that this was not the first time she had come into contact with Jesus. When she came to Simeon's house, it was in response to something. And I'm going to put this story here. John 8:3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken into adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? The Bible doesn't explicitly tell us who this woman is. But let's read on in the story. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Now, I want to explain something to you. Well, something you already know. The Bible says, calls Satan, what is one of Satan's names? Absolutely, that's it. The accuser. That's what he's doing. Now, the accusation was actually true. She was guilty. It wasn't as if she was innocent. But what did the King of Kings do? It said, as though he heard them not. I believe today that this is exactly what's happening. The accuser's still up there right now. He hasn't been thrown out. But I believe figurative, Jesus is just writing in the sand. You see, we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven. We have been forgiven. He died for the whole world. The problem is, we either don't realize it, don't believe it, don't understand it. Because if we did, we would love much. We would love much. This is the key. I'm not saying this is the exact one, but there was something that had happened before this. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. The truth is, he was the only one who could have actually picked up a stone. He was the only one who could have picked up a stone. And again, he stooped down and started to write on the ground. I'm working on a study. I told you before in Revelation chapter 4, John sees one sitting on a throne with a scroll. And it's sealed with seven seals. And he starts to weep. Why is John weeping? No one was found worthy. See, the point is, all of us are no better than that woman. It's just most of us don't even realize it. Because if we did, we would love much. We would be lifting up God's name. We would be worshiping. We would be thanking. We would be bringing the alabaster jar. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about sacrifice. I'm talking about what we put first. That's what I'm talking about. Because Jesus said, those who have been forgiven much, love much. Love much. So he stooped and he started to write. See, there's a book in heaven that's got something written on it, sealed with seven seals. And as I said before, in most, Bible scholars and things, that we make a big deal about the seals. But the seals can't be as important as the book. And I haven't heard anyone teach about that. I'm going to be teaching about that soon. Because you notice we're not told here what he wrote. It's sealed. We don't know what he wrote because it's sealed. But there was one person who was found worthy to open the book, to take the book and start to open it. An elder came to me and he said, John, don't weep, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. This woman should have died under the law. Yesterday I was teaching about Jesus being the transitional figure between law and grace. And what a lot of people don't realize, or let me ask you the same question I asked them, when did the law end? When did the law actually end? When did the law end? Come on, it's an easy question. Yes, that's when the law ended, right? It's when Jesus bowed his head and said, it's finished. Man's redemption is paid. So the point I was making, a lot of the statements Jesus made before that don't actually apply to the church. He was speaking to Jews under the law. He said, I've only been sent to who? Right. His earthly ministry before the cross, he was directly speaking only to Jews. He actually came to fulfill the law. And to prove that, it says you got to love God with all thy might, heart, strength, soul, 100%. The scripture says, this upon this stands the law. That statement is the law. You know what that means? None of us can do it. We're not capable of loving God 100% mind, body, and soul. That was the law. It showed us we couldn't do it. But God still loved us. The Bible said, while we were yet sinners, while this woman was caught in the very act of adultery, he started to write something in the sand. He started to write something in the sand. While we were yet sinners, the Bible said God showed his love. God died for us. And if we understood that, if we had any humanity, we would begin to love. We would at least be grateful. Amen. So let's go on with this. So, and after he said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. It's interesting how this story says this, starting at what? The eldest. Starting at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, my theory is that this was the same woman. Because she knew she should have died that day. She had a terrible reputation. The whole town knew about her. But the King of Kings had said no. I'm telling you, once you understand that he has ignored the accuser, that he is not listening to him, that he's writing something in a book. I'm going to teach that soon. Almost ready. He's writing something in a book. And that there was one found worthy who is able to release that book and open the scroll. Being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. The beginning of loving God is to first of all acknowledge what he has done for us. Now some people, it hasn't really hit them. They don't see it. They don't believe it. But that's what it's all about. God so loved the world. Isn't that what John says? That he what? Gave. Love is a giving thing. I always tell my wife, anything you want. Anything you want. Isn't that true? To the half of the kingdom, right? Of course, it's not much of a kingdom. Oh, goodness. At least she hasn't taken advantage of that. Amen. Amen. So we see that the accuser was ignored. The accuser was ignored. Jesus did not listen to the accusers. He started to write something in the sand. He did not listen to the accuser. One of these days, the Bible says, the accuser of the brethren is going to be cast out. Who accused them day and night before God. You know what? But he already said it is finished. Man's redemption is paid. And you've probably heard much teaching on that word in the Greek. It's telestai. It means paid in full. It's what they used to stamp on a bill. You know, when you make your last car payment and you get that title and it says, you know, clear. That's what Jesus did. Clean, yes. That blank piece of paper, just like that. When he said telestai, it meant paid in full. No wonder this woman, I believe, came back when she heard he was in town to thank him. And no expense spared. She wanted to let him know. The Bible says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? We need to get to the point of understanding what God has done for us to start to begin to rebuild the love that we should have. That's how we rebuild it. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I just want to believe, the Bible doesn't explicitly tell us, that there was a reason why this woman came all the way back to Simeon's house with an alabaster jar. Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, this story about this woman should be told. That's why I'm telling you today. To whom much is given, much is required. You know, there are times I'm human. There are times I'm human. You know, I just want to. But I realize how much God has done for me. How much he has done for me. I'm not able to. Don't have long hair. I probably couldn't cry that much. But I'm here today to let him know I love him. I'm here today to give him praise. I'm here to be his servant in whatever way I can. In my flesh, many times I don't want to do what God's will is, but through love and submission, we will do what our flesh otherwise wouldn't do. Love will motivate us more than anything else. It was love that motivated this woman to come to Jesus. It was love that covers a multitude of sins. And I believe it was love that from that point on changed her life. Jesus could have said, go ahead, yes, let's throw stones. But he did not. But he did say, go and sin no more. The truth is about this story is we are that woman. That's what the story is about. And if we could understand the fact of how much we have been forgiven, each and every one of us, each and every one of us, knowing not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, be not deceived. See, we may not have done exactly what she did, but there's a whole long list here. Even unbelief is sin. There's a whole long list. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners. You see, there's a whole long list. The reason why we don't love is because we don't realize how much we've been forgiven. This is the key. When we start to love God, it will be easy to serve him. Take my yoke because my burden is what?
Light.
But it's only light if you love him. You know, any kind of job, as I've said, if you don't like it, it's work. But for me, like doing Bible studies, I could do that all day. That's not work. Because I love it. It's easy. What I don't have is time, but it's not because I don't want to do it. I love doing that. It's easy. When we start to love God, his service will be easy. We will be wanting to please him, to do his will. And then submission to his will and to his word won't be hard. If we just look back in our lives, the times when we've messed up and how many times God has forgiven us, where the accusers were ready to start throwing stones. The Bible said he meant like he wasn't listening. I think that's exactly the case right now in heaven. The devil is still throwing accusations, but you know what? Jesus is writing a book. He's writing a book, and he's not listening. One day in Revelation 12, it says there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought, and prevailed not. And he was cast out. That's going to happen as morning comes after night. It's going to happen. And one of my favorite scriptures, you know what I'm going to say? It says, now. Now has come salvation. For the accuser of our brethren has been cast out who accused them. You see, that's why we feel the way we do, because the accusations. She could hear what they were saying. It wasn't as if she was deaf. She could hear all the accusations, and she knew it was true. She could say nothing. There was nothing she could say. Nothing. But Jesus wasn't listening. He started to... What I want to tell you is this. At that time, she could say nothing, but there was one thing she could do. She could show love. And I really believe this was the woman. I'll give you some reasons in a Bible study, but I'll just take it from me. Sometime later, when Jesus came to Bethany, here comes this woman who had this reputation. And Jesus gives us an explanation of how you can start to love. Amen. It's because he first loved us. There was nothing she had done yet that she should have escaped being stoned to death. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. That's the truth. You're not here because you think you made all of the decisions. God, through circumstances, has brought you to this point. But that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, that means the sacrifice, for our sins. That's what this is all about. If we understand that, My father used to tell me, love wins love. But to do that, you have to have patience. He prayed 21 years for his father. 21 years, his father never, ever came to church. The last day he was leaving Jamaica, the last service, his father came to church and got saved. 21 years. Isn't it say, love is patient? That's why we're still here. That's why the Bible says we are not consumed, because his love is patient. It also says it's kind, but it is patient. Love is patient. I'm so glad God is patient with me, because in my mess and in my own way and in my flesh, if he wasn't patient, Bible says we would be consumed if it wasn't for his love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice, the gift, the alabaster jar for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, it's easy to point fingers, isn't it? It is easy. God gave us 10 of them, and we know how to use them. Amen. But Jesus told the parable of the servant who had owed a huge amount, and the king forgave him. He asked him for mercy, and the king forgave. Then he goes out and he grabs the other servant, his fellow servant, starts shaking and says, pay up all that you owe. See, blessed are the merciful, for what? They shall obtain mercy. You know, some of us need to get that in here. To get that in here. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's what the scripture says. This is not something that comes normally, because I think the way our corrupted self is now, we really love me, I, and myself. That's our tendency, right? To be all about me, whatever pleases me. You can always tell how certain people are going to make a decision. It's always going to be in their favor, right? So you've heard the story of the two brothers who are always competing, and the mother brings home some cake and says, okay, well, you cut it, and then you choose which piece you get. So if the brother that cut it also chose the piece, he's going to cut a big piece for himself. So the mother said, okay, you cut it, and then you choose which one you have. So, of course, then you know he's going to cut it really, really even. See, our natural tendency is to be all about ourselves. But once we start to understand God's love and how kind he has been with me, I can't be looking at you in strange ways, because I have no right. I've been forgiven much. Whoever's been forgiven much loves much. Isn't that what the scripture says? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We should love one another. And that kind of love is first patient. Isn't that what it says? It's kind, right? In Corinthians, it gives all of the attributes of the God kind of love. When we have that kind of love, we're going to submit to God. We're going to submit to one another. We're going to submit, because we will always think of the other person's interest first. We'll always want to please the other person's interest first. Now, some people want to take advantage of that. That's true. Some people will want to take advantage of that. But you know, when we do it unto the least, Jesus says, you're doing it unto me. So even if someone is on earth is taking advantage, God is saying, you know, you're doing that to me. You're bringing the alabaster jar to me. You're washing my feet, even though you're washing. You see, he goes on to say, how can you say you love God and you can't love your brother? And you can see your brother and you can't see God, but yet you will say you love God. So love of God is going to be manifested in loving one another. And being kind to one another. And being patient to one another. And being gentle to one another. That's all in Corinthians. You can, you know, what they read at weddings. When we love God, we will be totally submitted. When we study David's life, you can see that he was in love with God, his God. He did nothing before he checked with God. Shall I do this? Shall I go here? The times he messed up was when he didn't. When we're in love with God, we will submit to him. We will communicate. You've heard my story. I spent lots of money on phone bills. I really get into a panic. I think my wife knows what I'm going to say. When I can't get in touch with her. If she's supposed to be somewhere and I can't get in touch with her, I start to get in a panic. Not because I don't trust her. I'm worried, you know. Maybe she had an accident. Or, you know, she knows that I get into a panic if I, you know. I've calmed down a little bit. And it's not about control, really. It's just, I want to know she's okay. She's my love. How is our relationship with God? David, you could tell from even when he was a shepherd's boy, his relationship with God. The psalms he wrote. Just look at the psalms, the songs in the psalms that he wrote. Okay? It was because God first loved us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son. There is no greater thing that God could do. In the parable that Jesus told of the rich man and the beggar never got rich, did he? He was always at the rich man's door. Finally, they both died and went to the grave. And the rich man said, you know, I wish my brethren don't come down here. I hope my brothers don't come down here. I said, if someone will come back from the grave, if only, you know, I know they don't believe the prophets, but if someone will come back from the grave, they will believe. And Abraham said, no, they won't. Jesus proved that by coming and dying on a cross. It was, as they said, love that kept him on that cross. When he was in the garden, he didn't want to drink the cup. Remember what I said about love? Love will make you submit. It was love that made him go to the cross. Because if he didn't, billions of us would not have a chance. Because we were not capable of loving God 100%. Body, soul, and spirit, and mind, and strength. We were just not capable. That was the law fulfilled only in Christ. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, and this was the verse I put, because he first loved us. And how did he do that? He showed us. He showed us. He showed us. The question is, do you believe? Do you understand how much you have been forgiven? If you did, you would love much. You would want to serve him much. You would want to submit. You would want to return everything that he has done as much as possible. That's what Mary Magdalene tried to do. She didn't care about her reputation or what people thought. But she was even so in awe of him. The Bible carefully says she didn't come in front of him. She came behind him and bowed at his feet and started to wash his feet. The Bible says about her that she was always at his feet. But Mary stayed at his feet. Martha, her sister, got upset. Why aren't you doing all these other things? Jesus said, Mary hath chosen the better part. What I'm trying to tell you is, doing God's will, the Father's will, is easy if we love him. How can we fall in love with God again? Well, start to think about all the things he has done for you. Start to remember how much he has forgiven you. Start to understand that he has not listened to the accuser. He could have listened to the accuser. We have been caught in the very act. We have put other things before God. Let's admit it. There have been times when other things have been before God. But you know what? He's ignored the accuser. He's just been writing something in a book. He's not been listening. See, once we get to that point where we love God, the fear of what's going to happen will start to go. The fear, because if you absolutely, genuinely love God and you know that he is looking down at you right now through eyes of love, how could you be afraid? Don't you know Satan who's on my side? Don't you know what kind of relationship I have? Do you know who's my beau? Who's my, what's the word today? Bae or whatever they say? B-A-E, whatever that word is. I don't understand it. Don't you know who's my boyfriend? Who's my girlfriend? If you were in love with God in that way and it was God, you would not have much fear, would you? It's when you fear the strength of the relationship, then you start to worry, right? But if God is with you, isn't that what David said? I shall fear no evil. I told you David was in love with God. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head. Do you understand? That's a quote in Luke, when Mary Magdalene, Jesus quoted what she did, but it was a quote from David's psalm. Simeon, when I came in, you did not anoint my head. Do you understand? God has, so to speak, given us the alabaster jar in the Holy Spirit. Something so valuable that we couldn't buy it. And he's anointed our head with that. If we understood, the scripture says, while we were yet sinners. If God loved us when we were so filthy and horrible, how much more? And if we could understand that and start to reciprocate that love, how much power and how much peace and rest and joy would we have? But it's a question of where our heart is focused. It's a question of where our treasure is. What is before God in our lives? Judas, it was money. He started grumbling because the Bible said he carried the bag, right? Man, that could have been sold for 200 pence. A pence in those days was one day's wages. That could have been sold for 6 months' wages. And he started to grumble because his treasure was all about money. We can see that. We can see that. Where is our treasure today? Because that's where our heart will be. That's where. What do you care about most of all? What is number one? If God isn't anything that's in that on that pedestal, you're an idol worshiper. Let's just call it what it is. I had many idols that I wasn't even conscious of. I told you one last week. I had this studio in my basement that was, you know, it's my little place and kids shouldn't go in there. It was my little place of, you know, and I spent a lot of time in there making music because it wasn't consciously, but it became my idol. Now, the music was all gospel music, but my mind wasn't getting the priorities right. Whatever we put before God can become our idol. When we have our treasure in the right place, our heart will follow. Isn't that what the scripture says? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember now, our whole theme is the Father's will. And I'm saying if you love God, Jesus said you will do what? Right. And it won't even be like commandments. It'll be like, what would you like? What can I buy for you? Let's go out on a date. When can I see you next? Lord, when you're in love, that's how it is, right? You're looking forward to the next time. Lord, thank you. You just did some wonderful things for me. Every now and then God gives me a hug, and I just have to talk to him wherever I am and just start to. And sometimes I have to put on the glasses because I start to cry. And I'm driving, and I don't want to think that I'm crazy. But I just start to talk to God and say, Lord, thank you for that. I needed that, really. I really needed that right now. Just like that. Just like your piece of paper. I needed that, Lord, right now. I needed that hug. If we could work on our relationship with God, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. What's foremost in our lives right now? Is it, Lord, you're coming back and I want to get out of this place? I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of all the stuff that I have to deal with. Where is your treasure? Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We may not feel like we're where we're supposed to be, but we should always confess that. We should never, and I'm very guilty of this. My wife has to correct me a lot. Confess negative things. But we should be saying, with God, I can do all things. Amen? With God, don't, let's not give the devil any glory. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's praise the one we're in love with. Let's give the one we're in love with glory and praise and honor. Lord, you're awesome. Amen. You're a God compared to no other God. Amen. You've done such great things for me. Amen. And let's declare our love. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. But the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. We need to do some declarations. If you could stand with me, I'm going to finish a little early. The Father's will is easier if we're in love. How do we get back in love? Just like Mary Magdalene, realize how much we have been forgiven. Jesus said, it's because she has been forgiven much, she loves much. If you don't love God, just start thinking about the things he has done for you. Just start thinking that. And if you have any kind of conscience, you will at least be grateful. You'll at least say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You saved me from an accident the other day. Thank you, Lord. I wasn't expecting this check that came out of the blue. Thank you. You know I needed it and you provided. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you for my beat up hoopty car. Thank you. Tonight I have a place to go and lay my head. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I have food on my table, Lord. Thank you for that. At least be grateful. See, the children of Israel never made it to the promised land. You know why? Because they were ungrateful. They did not recognize God's love for them. He said, I've chosen you, Israel, above all other nations. I've done such miracles for you. I've gone out on a limb for you. I killed all of the Egyptians for you. I let you cross the Red Sea. I brought food out of the sky. I brought water out of a rock. And yet you don't love me? That's the story of Mary Magdalene, to whom much is forgiven. She loves much. I'm talking about how we can fall back in love with God, is to look at all the things he has done for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. David knew about love because he said, thou anointest my head with oil. The same words Jesus then used a few thousand years later about Mary Magdalene. She anointed his head with oil. In return, you know what he has done? He has anointed our head with oil. There came a sound like of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were standing. And there appeared upon their heads cloven tongues as of fire. And they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know what they were speaking? Praises. The wonderful works of God. They started to give back love to God. Lord, thank you for this promise that you have promised for thousands of years. The thing that David spoke about became a fulfillment. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. But that, for him, it was just symbolic. It was just symbolic. I don't know, this is not time to teach it, but if you notice the difference between David getting anointed king and Saul getting anointed king, was a big difference. If you study the story, Samuel took a big horn of oil, poured it over David. Wasn't the same for Saul. Go and look it up. There was a big difference. He has anointed us with oil. Something so valuable that you couldn't purchase it. Because he loves us so much. And instead of saying, throw the stones, the Bible says he went as if he didn't hear the accuser. I'm not listening to you, Satan. I don't care what you say. They're my child. I still love them. They may not be listening to me right now, but I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to love them. And I said that God's love is the strongest thing in the world if we will hold on to it. It's the strongest chain ever made. But a chain can't push. It can only pull. That's where a chain's strength is. It can pull. But you know what? For God's love to be effective, we have to grab a hold of it. And it can pull us out of any situation. Any situation. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave. I'm going to try and close, but I just want you to understand this. That once we understand that God has done so much, at least we can be grateful. And if we start to be grateful and thankful and start to worship and confess our love to God, that's how love grows. It's a two-way street. Father saw the son a way off and fell upon him and hugged him. We're going to close today. But I want you to know that God loves you. He's not listening to the accuser. He's writing something in a book. I'm going to teach on that. I know I keep saying that, but God has given me some revelation. Father, we thank you today. Hallelujah for your mercy and your grace. Lord, fill this house with faith. Most of all, let your love pour down upon us. Oh God, as we acknowledge you, as we lift up your name today, Father, we ask you right now to do a work in our hearts. Transform us, renew us, Lord God. Let your mercy and your grace, and most of all, your love, wash us, oh God, to reach down into our souls today. Help us, oh God, to respond. Oh God, in kind, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. To acknowledge you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your blessing and your grace, and we give you today the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to someone and say, because God loved me first. Amen. God bless you. We will start again at 15:15. Amen.